We'll write a little bit on the board here. Because you ask not is the phrase that I want us to get a hold of. Hopefully that it will be a challenge to us. I'd like to go to the book of James in the 4th chapter over here in the New Testament. And we'll talk about some things today that's just where we all live. At least it's where I live. And it's so amazing to me how hard as individuals we can struggle to achieve or to gain the things that we desire, and yet can come up empty-handed. And I look around and I realize that I'm not the only person that's ever done that. So I'll give you a little. I think I've used this illustration before, but it's been a long time. When one of our sons was in school, and it seemed like maybe it was before he was fairly young, we got to, I say we got fascinated with the concept of a permanent magnet motor. Something that didn't require electricity or anything else outside energy source except magnetism. And we spent a lot of time. Don't get me wrong. It's always a good time for a father to spend time with his sons. And it's always a good time for a mother to spend extensive time with a daughter in exploring things that causes you to really think and causes you to apply everything you know, all your expertise. And I think it's profitable even if the end result is not what you wanted. Well, I'm here to tell you that the end result was not what we wanted. We had some dreams and aspirations, and we talked about it a lot. And then we spent a lot of time working on it. A lot of time. And I'd hate to know how many hours we involved in that and how much we bought lots of magnets. And it didn't work. And we finally satisfied ourselves of why it didn't work. But I won't go into that. There was no one at the time that we knew that we could ask. So we worked really hard on this difficult thing. And, you know, this is, I don't want to get off track here, but if we had been successful, do you know what we would have just discovered would have been what has been elusive for many, many generations, and that's called perpetual motion. It don't exist. And so we didn't get there. I'd like to read, beginning in James, the 4th chapter, and I'd like to start at the first verse. And some of this language and these passages that we're going to read sounds pretty aggressive, okay? It almost sounds like it don't really apply to everyday life, but I feel like that it does, and that's what my message is about. He says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You have a lust is a very strong desire." And we can have, as humans, we can have some really strong desires. A lust in itself, we usually interpret lust as something related to immorality. But I'm going to tell you, the word lust in itself is talking about a very fervent, passionate desire. It could be a really, really strong desire to do something that's completely moral, but it could just be consuming because you have such a strong desire. He says here, why are there conflicts? Why are there wars and fightings among you? Why is it that it's so much of a turmoil? He says, come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Sometimes we have deep-seated desires deep down within ourselves, and we don't even hardly know how to articulate how strong a desire or an appetite we have. And it might be for recognition. It might be for financial gain. It might be for knowledge, to know how to do. It might be for expertise in something. But it is something that is driving people. All right, we see that all around us. We see people that are driving, that are lusting for attention. They are lusting for wealth. They are lusting for position, for power, for authority. And it's a conflict. It's a fight that's going on. And he says, why is all this turmoil going on? It's because you have some strong desires. He says in verse 2, ye lust and have not. You have all these strong desires and you're never fulfilled. You're never satisfied. You kill. That's pretty dramatic, isn't it? And desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. There are so many times that we can struggle for things and end up coming up empty-handed, and maybe we feel like our efforts are foiled or just blow up in our face, so to speak. That's maybe a more common term today, if that's not too archaic for you younger people. But it's things that people can put so much energy and so much passion and so much desire in, and yet it don't turn out. And maybe it's because you should have asked somebody. I watched on my job one time, we had a car came in that had a crack in the transmission case, the housing for the transmission, and it run over a parking curb or something. I don't remember what it was, but anyway, it had a crack in the housing, and so I was asked to quote the job, and I found a part, and I quoted the job, and then because I was busy, they gave the job to somebody else, and this person didn't accept input from other people very well, and so I was a little miffed that they gave the job to somebody else, because I thought that I could do real well on it. But anyway, they give it to somebody else, and be it as it may, what I knew, I'd done this job before, and I knew all that was required is once I got the transmission out, I could stand it up on one end of it, and I could carefully unbolt that housing and put it back together the same way. And I had it all planned out in my head. They give it to the other man, and he took the transmission out, and he turned it what I would call upside down. And he began to taking it apart, all these pieces coming out, and he didn't have to do any of that. He could, if he would have read the book, if he would have asked somebody that had done the job before, he would have found out he was going at it backwards. And there was no way for him to put it back together the way he was taking it apart, because, you know, sometimes you start taking stuff apart and things kind of go boop and jump out. You know, there's no way to put it. It had to come in from the other way. And ultimately, he had to put it back together the way he should have took it apart, but he didn't have to take it all apart. It'd be like, well, I don't know what it'd be like. That's just my illustration. He did it backwards. And he didn't ask anybody, and he didn't ask the book. He didn't go and read the shop manual. He just thought he knew. And he worked really hard on it. Part of me felt sorry for him, and part of me probably didn't feel as sorry for him as I should have. Y'all been there before, but I looked on and observed this thing, and this goes, that's just one illustration, but it goes on all around us. People are struggling so hard because there's things that they want. They want to accomplish, they want to achieve, and yet it don't happen unless you ask. I want to read some more, and I'll come back to this verse. He says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it on your own lust." Sometimes if you have somebody come and ask you a question that seems to be a little bit obscure, and you come to find out that they're trying to maneuver something around where they get something else that they want. You ever had those situations? You know what I'm talking about? They come and ask you, well, you know, how heavy is that piece of machinery? Well, I don't know. It weighs 6,000 pounds. I'm just using this as an illustration. And all the time they got, what they really want to do is borrow my trailer. You know, they're asking amiss. They're not asking the right questions. And he says here, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your own lust." You want to do something a little bit underhanded, and you're not willing to ask the proper question or the proper source. I want to try to achieve something, but I don't really want to ask the right questions to the right source. And he goes on, this is strong language too. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." This is just some rationality points here. "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Did you know that without God's help, there will be a strong desire? It's something that's difficult to conquer. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy." Did you know that we come in this world with a depraved nature? One that is predisposed to envy? It's pretty... You see it in little children. They want something that somebody else has got. They envy. They feel neglected because they don't get what somebody else has got. "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" No, it's not vain that the scripture points that out to us. "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." You know, we're going to find conflict if we try to take our human depraved nature and try to appear to be pleasing to God. We're going to have a lot of conflict going on in our lives, and in our hearts, and in our minds. And we're going to be double-guessing ourselves all of the time. It's going to be a war. It's going to be a terrible situation. He says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." There is a way that you can achieve goals in a proper manner. It says here, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." There's a way to clean my hands. are not as clean today. Maybe you can see the stains on them, or maybe you can't. Aren't as clean today is, it's pretty obvious that I didn't spend yesterday washing dishes. All right? If I had of, my hands would be inherently cleaner. I cleaned it where it's safe enough to eat chips out of a bag. For me, it is anyway. But it's not as clean as they could be. All right? There's some things in the crevices of my hands and the lines and all of that that didn't come completely out. It takes some soaking to get that out. But there's a way to get ourselves cleaned up. And it's not going to be by arm wrestling conflict. It's going to be by asking the right source. Okay? Try to hold those thoughts. Now let's go back to the second verse. It said, "You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot attain." You know that there's a time that we take some drastic measures to try to get to the place that we have peace, right? And if we're trying to do it within ourselves and we're not asking the right source, we end up going through a lot of effort and feeling beat up, and we don't have peace. I read that same verse from a different translation. If you want to look it up, it's a Darby translation, okay, of the Bible. James 4 and 2, it says, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and are full of envy and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not because ye ask not." You do all of these things because you don't ask the right source. Anita and I was talking about some things here recently, temporal things, and she was asking me if something could be done. And I said, well, I'm not the person that can answer that question. I don't know. We're going to have to ask somebody else. I might be able to answer something else, but I can't tell you on this particular thing. There's things that no matter how much I try, it would only be a chance if I stumbled onto a solution. There are certain cars out there. I'm sorry I can't give you home ec illustrations, but there are certain cars out there that if you disconnect the battery and put a new battery in, for instance, and then you hook it back up and you go to start it, the radio won't work. And it says right on the screen, "Enter code." And they won't work. You can't turn the radio on until you enter the code. And there's no code on the radio. You can call the dealer for the manufacturer, and you can give them sometimes the VIN number, and sometimes you have to pull the radio out and get a number off the radio, and then they can tell you what code. And you use the little buttons on the radio, and you put in 9378. And then, boop, the radio works. I could spend all afternoon entering in four-digit numbers and be unsuccessful. But if I know who to ask, they can give me that code and I can put it in and the radio will work every time. So we have those things. There are times in life, if you're today, if you're struggling with something, you may be wanting a peace about something. You may be wanting strength about something. In some situation, you may want to have some understanding. I'm going to tell you that if you're trying to get it all figured out in yourself without asking, the message is today, let's find the right person to ask. Might be a temporal thing, and if it's a spiritual thing, I know who to tell you to ask. It's the Lord. He's the one that can give us the code, that can unlock, make our radio, if that's what it is, make it play again. So, I've observed people in my lifetime, since I'm getting past middle age. I've lived long enough that I've observed people that has missed out big time in life because they didn't ask. They built a big air castle in their minds, and they ended up disappointed because they didn't ask. You know, every one of our marriages began with a question. Every one of them did. You might have grown up, went to school together. Maybe you sat next to each other in class, and maybe you worked together and worked side by side, and you can observe things that you like in other people, and I observe things I liked in my wife, and I don't know if she did in me before I asked or not, but I observe things that I liked, and I made an effort to be close to her, and you can ask her the details about that. But, you know, we didn't start a relationship moving in any particular direction until I asked. I didn't intimidate her. I didn't arm wrestle her, nor did I arm wrestle her parent. I had to ask. I'm pretty sure that if I threatened her or tried to intimidate her into spending time with me, that it would have been unproductive. But I asked a question. And because I asked the question to the person that it should have been asked to, a relationship was able to start. And here we are, almost 39 years later. You and I will miss out on soul peace. We'll miss out on victory now and in eternity if we don't ask. You can try to line all your ducks up in a row. Some of y'all have probably seen a video on the internet of these fellas standing up concrete blocks or bricks. I've seen a couple different ways. Stand them up, space them just right. Stand them up and like dominoes. And they go down to the end and they push the first one over and it clicks and it hits the next one and the next one and the next one. And it just goes click, 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 all the way down to the end. And when it gets to the end, they're landing on one another on top. And when it gets to the end, that last one falls all the way down, and then the rest of them go all the way down. Y'all seen that? You can put everything in place and think you, I don't know how many times they did that until it turned out right. Okay? I'm guessing they did it more than once. You know, and it went and stopped, and the rest of them were laying like they were. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I think that we could do ever so many things. We're lining up our dynamos where everything is going to fall right. And sure enough, an acorn falls out of the tree and knocks one of them over and it messes the whole thing up. You know, my point in saying this is if we are trying to force things, we can have some strong passions. We can have some strong desires. You know, I don't want to have conflict in my life. But I'm going to tell you, it don't matter how much I try to avoid conflict. If I don't ask the Lord to help me when conflict comes, conflict's going to come. You can do everything right and be nice to everybody, and conflict will fall out of the sky somewheres, and you'll want to know why it had to come. I don't think any of us like conflict. for just the sake of conflict. I don't like it. I don't like people to not be happy. But I know that I found that I can't make everybody happy. And I know that if I don't ask the Lord to help me on a daily basis, I'm going to end up disappointed. And I'm going to disappoint other people. I know that it's a mistake to try to build happiness on achievements. You can gain some, I've made some achievements in my life, but I'm going to tell you, my happiness doesn't hinge on that. It can't. Success, accomplishments. You know, there's a lot of wealthy people out there today that are unhappy. They can achieve a status that would make some of us make our jaws drop and hit the floor. They're worth that much money? And we find out that they struggle with being happy. And you might say, boy, if I had that much money, I think I could be happy. Maybe. But I'm going to tell you, there's a good chance it won't make you happy. There's a good chance it won't give you peace. There's a good chance that you'll be paranoid instead of peaceful if you had that kind of resources. You know, it's a mistake to try to build fulfillment on winning a conflict. How many times have you ever heard of a debate ending where they declared a winner and that person was just perfectly happy and content after that? You know, I've found that debating ends up stirring up feelings and passions. And even if somebody can out-debate another person, it usually don't end up in long-term happiness and long-term success. And we can fight and war and go to the full extent to be prepared and all of that. You know, if you overpowered another person and intimidated them and forced them to do something, maybe it would stay off of your property. You know how much peace that brings? You might have showed them how the hog ate the cabbage. But can you sleep with both eyes closed after that? I would guess that you would always be fearful that that person would sneak back in and even the score out. I'd like to turn to Psalms, the 84th Psalm, and read the 11th verse. Psalms 84, in verse 11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from him that walketh uprightly." You know, if we walk uprightly, we have sometimes people kind of invade our space. Maybe they park something on our property. You know, if they ask, it's probably not a big deal. But if they don't ask, we feel taken advantage of, don't we? You know, maybe if somebody wanted to park their old jalopy in my front yard for 24 hours while they went and got a tow truck or a wrecker or a trailer or something, it would be no, sure, it's no problem. But when I look out there and there's a vehicle that's abandoned in my front yard, it's like, what's going on? Why is that happening? If they would have just asked, you see. Many times, the text that we use there in James 4 and 2, we desire and don't get it. I'm paraphrasing. Because what? Because you don't ask. Because you don't ask. Struggling with something I want in my life so bad, and yet we don't ask. And to ask, we've got to simply acknowledge that we need something. Lord, I need some peace in this situation. I need some victory here. I've lined all my dominoes up, and they all fell off the wall. I lined all my bricks up and they clicked one way, but they didn't click back the other way. By the way, I see no point in what they did because you got to lift every one of them up and put some mortar under them if they're actually going to make a wall out of that. But it looks cool anyway when it clicks across the screen two times. You know, I want us to be able to have the peace, the tranquility, the victory, the achievement in life. But I want us to realize that when we're trying to do it all on our own, many times we're going to end up unsuccessful. It's not going to be. If we can only learn to simply ask, simply ask our Creator, Lord, how can I do this? You see the turmoil. You see my desire. You see the things that I want to accomplish and my cause and my reasons for all of that. Lord, will you help me? I want us to go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and read a verse here, what we call the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus speaking here, he said, blessed or happy could be translated that way, but they chose blessed or blessed. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When we hunger and thirst after righteousness and we ask, Lord, what can I do to help absolve this problem? What can I do to be more like you? I want to have a peace that passes understanding deep down in my heart. I don't like this turmoil. I don't like this conflict. I've tried to put everybody and everything in order and it just don't bring the peace that I want. It don't bring the level of assurance that I believe is possible. And I want you to know that I believe we can be at peace, at rest, and we can have confidence that we are a child of God today. And to get that, we have to ask. And we have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It seems like sometimes we want to do something. We want to set our blocks up. We want to intimidate. And it seems like maybe you've seen it look like it worked for somebody else. I've seen sometimes that it looked like another person was achieving things that I wanted to achieve, and they were going about it in a different way. And it's like, Lord, you know what my heart's desire's been. You know what my ambition has been. But I just can't go down the path that they're going. And I've had to leave it with him. I think it's so important for us to realize, you know, when we're hungry and thirsting after righteousness, you know, a hungry person is not a real particular person. Somebody that's hungry and holding a sign, when you offer them food, they're going to say thank you. I was touched one time by some people that I believe were hungry. We were in Mexico. It's been a long time ago. Over 30 years ago, Anita and I was in Mexico, and I was there because of an achievement. It was a reward for me. And one of the rewards was we took a boat ride out into the Pacific Ocean, and I don't remember the sights that we were seeing, and the people that were operating the boat, and it was a kind of an extended trip, and they were going to provide lunch for us. So they did. It was a box lunch, and it was fried chicken, and I don't remember what else was in there. It was good. I enjoyed the food. And afterwards, you know, some people didn't eat all their chicken, but when they were done, they put their napkins in there and maybe their biscuits that they only ate part of and all of that. And they were coming around and picking up all of these boxes from those that were on the boat and being, and a little later, I noticed some of these people were opening those boxes and eating the chicken. I don't know that they were eating chicken that somebody else had chewed on, but I'm sure there were pieces of chicken that nobody had taken a bite out of. You know, I thought those people were hungry. I wished it could have been handled a little different. You know, if you're hungry, you'll eat not just leftovers, but you'll eat food that somebody else might have thrown away if you're real hungry. A hungry person will readily eat what's set before them. And I don't want to say that because I think that if I don't have the message, you're supposed to eat it anyway. I want you to have good spiritual food when you come to this chapel. And I want us to grow thereby. And the point of our message this morning is, if you find yourself struggling, trying to find an answer, try to make things come together in your life, I want you to just stop and I want you to ask. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? And if you have this hunger for His righteousness, I believe that all of the chaos that we read about there in James, the fourth chapter, the war, the fighting, the killing, all of those things that are very passionate things, you'll find them start crumbling and falling away. And you'll find your peace and your security and your stability come rising up out of that. Ask the Lord today, Lord, what can I do? I really want that soul peace. I really want that security of knowing that I am your child. I really want to know that my testimony is ringing true. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that I need to do? What is it that I can change? And have a hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because the end of this verse says, they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Ask and you'll be filled. If you ask and you're hungry for the things of the Lord, you'll be filled and it'll be a blessing to you in your life. You pray for me.